In today's gospel, the risen Christ plainly shows himself to the apostles who, in the words of Thomas, acclaim him as Lord and God. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in the book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There is a story about a man who was very anxious, very troubled, always upset about something. He was looking for inner peace, inner joy. And one day one of his friends said to him, "You know, probably if you finished something you started, you'd find peace." Because he was always, you know, he had a million projects going, and he'd start something and leave it, and he never finished anything. His friend said, "Look, finish what you start, and you'll find peace." So a couple days later, he said to one of his friends, he said, "You know, today I did finish what I started. I finished 2 bags of potato chips and a whole chocolate cake. And I feel better already," he said. Well, we know what that means, right? Comfort food. We all have comfort food. We have a bad day, things aren't going well. Turning to a little comfort food always seems to help for a bit. Of course, some people turn to comfort drink or comfort drugs. But whatever it is we try to fill up that turmoil with, it only helps for a little while. Then we find ourselves back in the same state, lacking that inner peace. But today, the Lord makes clear to us that what he wants for us is precisely that inner peace, that inner joy. Notice in the gospel today, when he appears to the apostles on three different occasions today, what's the first thing he says to them? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Now, when Jesus wishes that to them and to us, he's not just talking about a lack of conflict, a lack of strife. That we need that, of course, as a foundation. But he's talking about something more than that. He's talking about this deep inner sense of everything's all right. This deep inner sense of the fact that things are okay. He wants that for us, that inner sense of well-being. How do we get that? How do we let Jesus give us that? Well, I think there's two things, above all, that we have to do. The first is that we have to be willing to let go of the past. We can't live in the past with all that the past throws up to us. We have to be willing to let that go. If we're always mired down in the past, how will we ever be peaceful? I'm reminded of an incident that happened in the life of a man I read about down in New Orleans. You know, New Orleans is built below sea level, and there's lots of lakes and swamps and bayous around, and in one section of the city, they've built out into one of the swamps this kind of boardwalk. You can walk out for miles out into the swamps. Boardwalk's probably 5 or 6 feet above the swamp. You can look down and see all the wildlife. This man used to love to go out there and do that. So one of his friends said to him one day, you know, the next time you go out into the swamp, bring some marshmallows with you. And throw a marshmallow into the water, and you'll see a lot of alligators, because alligators love marshmallows. Unbeknown to this guy, alligators love marshmallows. So he figures, well, he'll try that. He goes out one day, takes his walk out there on the boardwalk all by himself, very quiet, bag of marshmallows, takes a marshmallow out, throws it out into the swamp, watches. Very quickly, two eyes come up. Two mother eyes come up. Another set of eyes come up, and they all start merging toward this marshmallow. Finally, one of the alligators snatches it. They all submerge. The eyes all go back down. And reflecting on this later on, the man said to himself, you know, he said, I've walked out there on that boardwalk many times, and what I never realized is that those alligators were watching me. I never saw them. They were there, though. Just like any possible prey, they were watching me. And if I wasn't careful, if I slipped in or something, they would have been right there to drag me down. I never saw them, but they were there waiting for me. I think that's a wonderful image of what the past can do to us. You know, all of our failures, all of our sins, all of our mistakes, we don't oftentimes think about them and see them, but they're lurking just beneath the surface of our consciousness. They're there. They're weighing us down. And once in a while, they pop up. And if we haven't put them behind us, they grab us and drag us down. Drag us down into inner turmoil. We've got to let the past be the past, because Christ has nailed our past to the cross. He's taken our past up to the cross and nailed it. We have to let it go. We can't let it drag us down. That won't give us the peace he wants for us. You know, in the New Testament, which was written in Greek originally, we know, there are two words in Greek for forgiveness. One word in Greek for forgiveness means something like taking a pencil and scratching out a contract. You know, if you made a contract with somebody, you take the pencil, you mark it out, the contract was canceled. But the other word for Greek, and this is the word that's almost always used of forgiveness in the New Testament, the other word in Greek is to wipe it out. To wipe it out. It's like etch-a-sketch. You know, you write something on the thing, you don't like it, you make a mistake, flip it up, it's gone, right? Wipe it out. That's the forgiveness that Christ nails to the cross, the kind of forgiveness we gain from that. So we have to let the past go. At least not let it drag us down. Second thing we have to do, though, to find that inner joy that the Lord wants for us is to have some kind of hope and assurance about the future. You know, there are so many, the future we know is not guaranteed to any one of us. We don't know what's happening tomorrow. And there are many people who torture themselves over the fear of the future. Somebody's going to get sick. Somebody's going to die. I might lose my job. All kinds of awful things going on in the world. They torture themselves about the future. And if that's the way we live, of course we won't find any kind of inner peace. But see, once again, the Lord wants to assure us that no matter what comes, He will be there with us. Doesn't He say it to us before He ascends into heaven? Behold, I will be with you all days, even until the end of the world. I'll be with you all days, even until the end of the world. What's that mean? It means that nothing is going to conquer us completely. We might have our problems. We might have our difficulties. But the Lord will be with us. We'll get through. We'll overcome. Ultimately, we'll be with Him forever. We can look to the future with hope and confidence because He is with us. Doesn't mean we won't have problems, but He will be with us. Now, in the letter to the Hebrews, there's a wonderful phrase. It goes like this. I will never forget you. I will never forsake you. I will never forget you. I will never forsake you. When we look at those words in ancient Greek, and if we were to translate them literally, the word never, that word never in Greek, it's like five different words together, each magnifying one another. If we were to translate that literally, you'd translate it, you'd say, no, never, not, never, no. I will no, never, not, no, forget you. And what the word forget means to abandon. I will no, never, not, no, never abandon you. I will never forsake you. What's that word forsake mean? It means, literally translated, I will never send you away. I will never not take care of you. I will no, never, not, never, no, not take care of you. So if that's true, then we face the future with some kind of deep peace, the peace the Lord wants for us, because we know He's going to be with us. Remember that wonderful image He gives to us? He says, come to me, all you who are heavily burdened and find life difficult, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you. Now we say to ourselves, why would anybody want a yoke? Yokes are heavy. But remember what Jesus is talking about. In His day, a yoke was always crafted for two animals. Two oxen, two horses, two donkeys, two pulling the load together. So when He says, take my yoke upon you, what's He saying? I promise to yoke myself to you. I will yoke myself to you. You will never carry the burden alone. You will never pull the burden by yourself. I will be with you. So, because that's true, even with the uncertainty we all face, we can face it with some confidence and hope because the Lord, the risen Lord, is with us. Let me conclude with a little story I heard recently about this country in Africa. I forget which one it was now, but there was one of the constant wars was going on, and there was this refugee camp. Hundreds of people were streaming into the refugee camp. It was awful. There wasn't enough food. No clean water, hardly enough place for people to set up their little tents. The aid workers were doing the best they can, but it was just almost a hopeless situation. So one day, as the aid workers are doing their thing or trying to, one of them hears some singing. Here's a singing, and he wonders. He turns around, he looks, he sees this little girl, probably 5 or 6 years old. She's sitting on an old, rusty, half-buried barrel, and she's singing. You know what she's singing? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. See, here she is in the midst of all that turmoil, all that grief, probably not knowing what tomorrow meant for her, but she had somehow a sense that she wasn't alone. The Lord was with her. The Lord would help her. The Lord would get her through somehow. That's true for you and me, too, you see. So, the Lord wants us to put aside the past, not let it drag us down. The Lord wants us to look to the future with assurance that He's with us. And if that's true, as it is, if we can put aside the past because Christ has nailed it to the cross, if we can look forward to the future because we know He's always with us, then isn't that reality better than any comfort food imaginable? Doesn't that lead us to peace and joy the way no comfort food ever can? May God bless you.